Song I want to play this morning is a very well-known song, but it's kind of interesting because it's in a very minor key, so it's kind of doesn't have a big joyful sound to it, but for being a Christmas song. But it also in the verses it asks questions. I mean, it's kind of like, and the song is, "What child is this?" So, I mean, it's got this question that it's always asking, you know, if you look through the verses and you just read the words. And but when it gets to the chorus, it's almost like a proclamation. You know, they have all these questions like, who is this baby that's born in a manger? You know, what are they here for? So they, but at each time it gets to the chorus, it's just like this is the babe. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. So just kind of reflect on those words as I play, because it's one thing about when you do a piano music or an instrumental song, you don't get the lyrics. So, you know, if you want to follow along in your hymnal, I don't even know what page it's on, but look it up and follow along. So, but anyway, all right. Lord, again, we thank you for all that you do for us, for all the ways that you work in our lives and the provision that you give us. We thank you. And so we offer these gifts to you, a small portion of what you have given us, but we give it in gratitude and thankfulness that your work continues to be done. We thank you and praise you. Amen.
If you please remain standing and turn in your hymnals to page 100, O Come All Ye Faithful, and the children are dismissed to junior church.
I look at the clock there and I see it's not even 11 o'clock, so I think I've forgotten something that it's we're so before my message. So, but the good thing about it is they get longer to preach this morning too. So, you know, the Advent season is something that can really be a challenge, because as we gear up for Christmas with all of its beauty and promises, we relish the feelings of love and goodwill, as we sing the songs about Jesus' birth and peace on earth, and even as we find comfort in all the traditions and the customs that we go through. Now, the question is, what is the easiest thing to overlook? Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, in keeping, you know, the common phrase has become Jesus is the reason for the season. I mean, because for people of faith, we already know that. And yeah, we can overlook it, but the part of it is it goes much deeper than just Jesus is the reason for the season. Because we have to get to the point where we, as the body of Christ, where the incredible, stunning reality of God coming to earth in human form just amazes us. To the point where we are once again in awe that God loves us so much to do that. To the point where the feelings of wonder that we should experience at this time of year are the same as when we were small children and, you know, we're experiencing that early Christmas morning feeling. So does that describe your attitude during this season? In other words, we spend so much time trying to create the Christmas spirit in us, around us, that we miss the very thing that is right in front of our faces. There's a quote I read this week, made many years ago, by a French author, philosopher, and perfectly reflects what I want to say here today. And he said, "The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in having new eyes." And that's the purpose of Advent, is seeing with new eyes. This morning, we're going to go back to before, actually, the birth of Jesus, to look at the announcement that the angel made to Mary about her role and her purpose in this incredible event. But before we get to the scripture, I want you to think about how Mary is usually portrayed. You know, in the world of art, you know, I just pulled some of these from the internet. You know, most of the images we have of Mary portray her as this, you know, mature woman, very serene and peaceful. You even see sometimes halo around her head, this perfect picture of motherhood. How many times has that expression been on you mothers' faces? See, we need to remember that Mary was just this very young teenager, you know, 13, 14 years old. And she probably wasn't any different than any other young teen at that time. There's a story I read about a pastor who recalled a Christmas pageant at his church, and he had one of his teenage girls from his youth group to play Mary. And this is how he described her performance. "At times, she was holding baby Jesus with loving care as she cradled him in her arms, while at other times, she held him with all the affection she would hold a chemistry book. She frequently treated Joseph as an annoyance and just plain ignored him. All the while, she was chewing and smacking her gum. Her parents were horrified," the pastor recalled. But he said, "But I think she got it exactly right, because Mary is not a perfect woman. She is not a perfect saint. She is perfectly human. And unless we can see ourselves in Mary, we miss a major part of Christmas." Now, you may not like that description that the pastor gave, because that can mess up with your image of Mary that you've held for centuries. I want to include everybody here, so it's like... But you know, if we are really to relate to the events of this Christmas story and what God has actually done for us, maybe we need to see ourselves in Mary, in Joseph, and the other characters in this story, the struggles they encountered, as well as the way they responded to them. So this morning I want us to just look once again at Mary's first encounter with the angel, when the angel appeared to her. And this is from Luke chapter 1. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which was her Mary's relative, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." You know, the very first thing that we noticed is that as the angel Gabriel greets Mary, her initial reaction, they use the word troubled. Now, using the word troubled could very easily be substituted with the word, you know, the fact that Mary was just very confused why she was highly favored. I mean, she knew all those times she probably talked back to her parents. She knew those times she was argumentative, petty, willful, maybe even disobedient. You know, all those standards of a teenage girl, right? She knew more than anyone else all of her shortcomings. So with that confusion then also came fear, which is a pretty common occurrence in the scriptures whenever an angel appeared. So the next words of Mary to the angel were simply, or the angel said to Mary were, "Don't be afraid. You've found favor with God." Now, if you're like me, those are words that, wouldn't you really just love to hear those words from God? You have found favor with God. But not necessarily the next words do we want to hear. Because then the angel launches into what this highly favored status involves. He said, "You're going to be with child, give birth to a son, and he's going to be the Son of God." Things are getting a little more challenging, aren't they? Pregnant and with the Son of God. So Mary's response to these incredible words spoken, I always figure were probably the first words that just popped into her head. "How's this going to happen if I haven't even been with a man?" And suddenly then, Mary's whole world has been shaken to the core. Her impending marriage, her respectability in this small community, her plans for the future, all drastically changed. Suddenly she's faced with shattered dreams, open criticism, questions about her faithfulness from the man that she's engaged to. This is what it means to be highly favored by God. So I'm sure at this moment Mary's probably wishing that she could, that it's just thinking this is just a bad dream. And I want to wake up from this bad dream. And you know, this is where the story starts becoming relevant to us. You see, most of us at some point in our lives have probably been in that same frame of mind. There may even be those sitting here among us today who are living with major disappointments and setbacks. Or maybe you're facing health issues of yourself or of a loved one. Or just the uncertainty of what the future may hold. Some of you may be wondering how you're going to afford much in the way of Christmas presents for your children or your grandchildren. Maybe some of you are in jobs that are draining, sapping you physically and emotionally. Or you may be facing this Christmas without someone you love who's died this year or last year, or you're still dealing with it years later. For others, anger or bitterness or despair is just eating away your insides because others have failed you in some way. While still others may just be dealing with loneliness or maybe experiencing fear and worries. We know that's reality. But even if you're one of those very few people that life is pretty stable for you right now, no fears, no worries, no stress, we've all lived long enough to know how quickly things can change. So no matter where you are at this Christmas season, I want you to notice something about Mary and remind you of something that, you know, we've talked about this before on you know, Sunday mornings. And it's this fact. So while we can't always control our immediate reactions, we can control our ultimate response. In other words, even though we may not be able to control how we initially react to all the problems, all the challenges in our lives, all those immediate reactions of stress, of fear, of anger, of frustration, or worry, or loneliness, or grief, or desperation, still, our ultimate response, that's our responsibility. And that's why whenever we're in situations like this, we need a fresh reminder of God's presence, of God's power. And we see that in verse 37, which is really a summary, almost a benediction of sorts of all that the angel Gabriel has been saying to Mary. So just look at that verse again. It says, "For nothing is impossible with God." You know, that literally means that God's not only still in control, but He can and He will do anything and everything that He determines needs to be done for any situation that we find ourselves in. So I'm going to ask, we're all going to say this together. Ready? For nothing is impossible with God. Let's say that one more time. For nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? When you are faced with all the things in your life, do you believe that nothing is impossible for God to step in and do something? Something good. Mary did. After her first reactions, hear again her response in verse 38. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And she's essentially saying, no matter whether I'm scared, no matter whether I'm troubled, doesn't matter, whatever the Lord has for me is what I want. No matter how difficult, here I am. Do what you will. It's that Christian author, Chuck Colson. He told of the time he asked his daughter what she wanted for Christmas. And you know what her response was? "Whatever my daddy chooses for me is fine." How many of us have ever said anything like that to God and meant it? "Whatever you want to do with me, Lord." That's hard, isn't it? That's very hard. Yet that's exactly the level of trust that God wants to develop in us through our difficulties, through our challenges. And that's a very important lesson that we can learn from this story. But there's one more thing we see in this story of Mary. After the angel left her, and she goes to see her relative Elizabeth, who's also, as we saw in the scripture, miraculously with child. And she goes there, and after all this, she gives glory to God. In the words that are recorded, Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And that's why it's important not only trust, but also to give glory to God no matter what we're going through. And that's even harder. That means to praise Him. That means to thank Him. Even to rejoice in our situation. Not that we have to be happy about it, but the fact that we are in God's care. Because again, here's why. For nothing is impossible with God. And if we truly believe that, if we truly embrace that, how can not only Christmas, but every day be anything less than awesome and amazing, no matter what you're going through? The truth is, God often calls us to do more than we think we can do. But He never calls us to do more than He can do. And think about that. And just like Mary, she had no real qualifications or a great family history to justify being chosen as the mother of the Messiah. And just like that, we're also reminded that God uses us, ordinary people who are simply available and obedient to bring about His will. Mary was ordinary, but she was available and she was obedient. And again, just like Mary, it's only when we are obedient do we actually find out we're better prepared for what God has in mind than what we think we are. We approach life thinking, I can only do this, I can only do that, because I'm just me. And when God wants you to do something, you're going to find out you have everything you need to be able to do that. And here's the tough part, because that's often why God shatters our dreams. And He changes our plans so that He can give us better ones. We always think we know best. And God is saying, no. I may take away those dreams that you had for years, but I got something better for you. Life may not turn out the way you thought, but God's got something better. Because sometimes the future you think you are preparing for is not what God has in mind for you. And so God is in the business of doing the impossible. All those things you didn't think were possible. So the question really for us to deal with and to wrestle with is, are we willing to believe in the impossible and expect something amazing this Christmas? Advent actually echoes the words from, and there's a beautiful song by the Gaither Vocal Band. I've always loved this song. And the one particular lyric from it says, lift your souls now and receive the glorious impossible. Well, just think about that. What you are going through, whatever it is in your life right now, God can turn that into something amazing. He might change it. He might revamp your whole Christmas plans. It might be something you think there's no way could ever happen. God deals with the impossible. Are we willing to believe that, to receive from Him what He wants to give us? Let's pray. Lord, we take sometimes that word impossible, and we just downgrade it so much it really doesn't have much impact in our lives. Just like we do with words amazing and awesome and incredible. We use them so often in so many different ways that they lose their impact. But these are words that describe you, Lord. May we recapture. May we recapture the amazing wonder of who you are and what you have done for us. Not so that we can have the perfect Christmas and that we can say Christmas is all about children and blah, blah, blah. Lord, this is about you and about what you have done for us. Forgive us for our self-centeredness and believe in the impossible. For this we truly thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen.